علامتی که همکنون میشنوید اعلام خطر یا وضعیت قرمز است و معنی و مفهوم آن این است که حمله هوایی انجام خواهد شد. محل کار خود را ترک و به پناهگاه بروید.
Évidemment, ce sont toujours des guerres qui se font avec des finances américaines. On sait très bien qu'il y a des banques, notamment la BCCI a été beaucoup mêlée à cette affaire. Il y a notamment un certain nombre de banques basées à Atlanta qui ont été, y compris des banques étrangères, des banques italiennes qui ont été mêlées à cette guerre. C'est-à-dire qu'on a fourni des armes, donné de l'argent, fourni du matériel. Et souvent du matériel à crédit. La France, par exemple, s'est retrouvée avec doit toujours de l'argent à l'Irak.
But diplomatic relations between Baghdad and Washington fast improved. Within 2 years, the U.S. granted more than $2.5 billion in government-guaranteed loans to Iraq. In only one instance, in February 1988, Bank of Atlanta gave a $300 million loan to the Iraqi government, and the ex-IM Bank of the United States gave another $500 million government-guaranteed loan to the Iraqi government to be spent on an oil pipeline project to take Iraqi oil to Aqaba Port in Jordan. The project was contracted to an American company called Bechtel Corporation.
The United States was not that much in favor of Iraq, but definitely against Iran, since they were still under the trauma. They had experienced the trauma of the embassy storming and embassies and diplomats taken as hostages.
The Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and their presence in the Persian Gulf turns into a nightmare for the United States.
And a man cannot be elected, you know, at the presidency of the United States if this man does not obey to the injunction of Israel. And the weapon of Israel against the United States, you know it, is a financial weapon. Exactly what you have now, you know, with the so-called crisis of subprimes and so on. You know, you can say it is another thing. No, we are in the same field. You know, I think that the United States are not independent in their politics.
Bah, non seulement, mais il y a eu la France aussi. La France s'est placée du côté de l'Irak.
Oui.
Bon, non, la France a une responsabilité. La France était du côté de l'Irak. Et à mon avis, je n'ai pas compris pourquoi la France soutenait le régime, soutenait l'Irak. Je n'ai pas compris pourquoi, mais pas seulement la France, également aussi les États-Unis.
With the removal of Iraq from the U.S. terrorist blacklist, companies, among them American Steel, made a dash for Iraq's market and flooded it with goods and military equipment. In April 1981, Saleh Omar Ali, Iraq's envoy to the United Nations, invited American Steel's manager, Larry Haig, to Baghdad. To propose was to sign a billion-dollar contract with Hossein Kamel, Saddam's son-in-law. Kamel was Iraq's Minister of Industry and Military Industrialization, MIMI. He gave the Americans a shopping list of tanks, radars, and helicopters. The order was filled within a year, and several new ones placed.
Never worldwide Washington is doing anything without two main interests being served. The number one interest is always business. Then is the number two interest. They see to it that their strategic interest in the region is served. And about US or NATO strategic interests, we can say something very easy. Make the others weak. That is important.
The United States invoked and relied on the terms of the Algiers Accord, in particular Article 9, and argued that it cannot return back these assets to Iran because Iran and Iraq are in war, and it is the United States should stand impartial and neutral in such military conflict between the two parties.
Despite Iraq's superior military power, Iran's successive gains in battle sent shockwaves through the halls of the White House. After the U.S. Embassy bombing in Beirut in 1983, Washington decided to give priority to preventing the Islamic Revolution in Iran from spilling over to other countries. They immediately claimed the bombers had been supported by Iran. The aim was to accuse Iran of supporting terrorism in order to stop it from winning the war.
Les Américains, proprio motu, avaient décidé de ne plus commercer avec l'Iran, mais le problème, c'est qu'il y avait d'autres pays qui commerçaient à leur place, donc prenaient leur place, ça ne leur plaisait pas.
Such an action was taken by American warship against the oil platform. It was a mistake. But I'm not that much in favor of destroying economic infrastructure, since it's not a good way of weakening a government. It's just weakening the populations, lessening the standard of living of the whole population. And to my mind, it's bad, it's against human rights. But well, such was the warfare at that time.
Former CIA operative Max Cherry wrote in his book, U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia Richard Murphy believed the best way to stop Iran was to inform Iraq about the conditions and positions of Iran's military forces. For that to happen, the U.S. State Department, Department of Defense, and the CIA, then headed by William Casey, would have to join hands together. Their alliance provided Saddam with invaluable intelligence. Now Saddam had information about Iran's military positions. Information gathered by American AWACS airborne radar system based in Saudi Arabia. But the Americans did more than taking satellite pictures and sending them to Baghdad. The U.S. deployed military generals to Iraq to train Iraqi military commanders in how to use that information.
حمایت‌های مختلف مادی و معنوی کردن، اطلاعات آواکس رو در اختیار عربستان سعودی می‌ذاشتن که اونا به صدام بدن، کمک غذایی 2 میلیارد دلاری به صدام داشتن.
Le problème c'est que la Cour internationale de justice, elle fait un peu ce qu'elle peut, elle n'a pas de moyens de rétorsion contre le pouvoir. En plus il y a une confiscation du
Minister of Industry and Military Industrialization Hossein Kamel was planning to buy long-range missiles to hit Iran's capital city. Such a missile would need solid fuel, and so he sent a man named Abdulqader Helmi to the U.S. to find it. Helmi knocked on every door, from SMC in South Carolina to Kaiser Aerotech in California. Eventually, on March 8, 1988, Kayser Aerotech sent the shipment of key crop to the Egyptian embassy in Cairo, and the embassy secretly took it out of the U.S. Helmy obtained most of the information about the Condor II missile from top-secret NASA documents.
We are, by definition, an anti-militaristic organization. So we condemn, of course, the sale of weapons to all countries. Yeah? One of the reasons is that the friend we have now can be the enemy later on, and then we are indeed having this vicious circle, like giving people arms and then destroying them later on. So we are against armed trade to whoever.
ولی ما در جریان جنگ تحمیلی از ابتدا تا انتها شاهد این هستیم که امریکایی ها علیه ما صحبت میکنن در حالی که میبینیم که سرانجام سازمان ملل هم علارغم کارشکنی ها و مقاومت هایی که مجبور به اعتراف به این شدش که عراق متجاوز بوده.
As you know, the US Department of Commerce licensed numerous items on the list without referring them to the Department of Energy. The most common items was computers. Computers operating above a certain speed.
But based on the Missile Technology Control Regime, MTCR, an informal non-treaty signed between the U.S. and other industrialized countries, the sale of any advanced missile technology to Iraq was banned. But for Iraq to possess the most state-of-the-art military equipment, including laser-guided and long-range missiles, it needed such technologies as U.S.-made supercomputers and others. In 1985, the U.S. Department of Commerce agreed to Iraq's request and allowed Associated Electronics in New Jersey to make hybrid digital and analog computers despite objections from the Defense Department's Defense Technology Security Administration, DTSA. But soon after, in June 1986, the U.S. National Security Council cleared the Defense Department out of the way. The NSC called on the Pentagon not to stand in the way of licenses issued for the exports of advanced technologies to Iraq.
These companies were instrumental in making Saddam's chemical weapons of mass destruction. He could not have done it without their help.
These chemicals were supplied to Iraq by a number of companies, France, German companies, Swiss companies, and yes, unfortunately, a few American companies.
When I first came across the information on the U.S. support for Iraq throughout the 8-year war against Iran, I remembered a famous saying that says, "The law is different written on paper than practiced." If the media and the newspapers were the only sources of this information, then maybe this wasn't the right way to interpret it. But the reports by investigators from the United Nations Special Commission and the United Nations Monitoring, UNSCOM, Verification and Inspection Commission, UNMOVIC, as well as those by a U.S. Senate subcommittee and the White House itself, all testify to that fact that the sale of military equipment to Iraq was illegal. More importantly, documents declassified by the U.S. National Security Council corroborate this information. Additionally, the American troops who suffered chemical wounds in Kuwait used the same evidence to file $5 million lawsuits against the American companies who supplied Iraq with chemical weapons. The interview with the veteran's lawyer who says, unfortunately, American firms are among those selling chemical weapons to Iraq.
And that was in line with the American strategy.
Très mal, c'est-à-dire que les Irakiens, sans gagner, continuent à s'industrialiser, à se fortifier, à développer leur autonomie militaire.
I think it was Kissinger who said, too bad that not both countries can lose the war. They wanted both countries down, both countries weak, and first of all, a lot of Muslims died.
also used nuclear weapons against innocent Japanese people. They are the first and also the last ones that they use nuclear weapons. And now they have their arsenals, but they are talking regarding Iran.
The suppliers of chemical material to Iraq are numerous, so many more than only Frans van den Raat. And I think that it's not even only businesses, it's not only individual persons, it's not only businesses, but it's also governments that have been involved and have played a role that is at least immoral, but possibly could be argued to also be against the law.
Well, the OPCW is the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. It's what's called the implementing body for the Chemical Weapons Convention. The convention is an international treaty that was signed in 1993 at a major international conference in Paris, and that entered into force legally as a binding international treaty, legal treaty, in April 1997.
بزرگترین نقض کننده این کنوانسیون در شرایط فعلی کشور آمریکاست، یعنی کشوری که تعهد خودش رو انجام نداده توی اون فرجه زمانی که تو کنوانسیون پیش بینی شده بود، بعدش کشور روسیه است و این دو کشور بیشترین زرادخانه های سلاح شیمیایی رو در اختیار دارن.
The law of war prohibits the use of chemical weapons, and the illegality of it has been emphasized in all treaty obligations by the international peremptory norm. Still, the international community remained silent despite knowledge of Iraq's use of chemical weapons against Iran. But why did the world not speak out? And why did the UN Security Council not unequivocally condemn Iraq? The answer to that question lies in the archive documents published by the U.S. National Security Council. When Georgetown University made those documents public, the American government prevented the UN Security Council from condemning Iraq. It also prevented the Council from mentioning Iraq's name in its statement as a possessor and user of chemical weapons.
Do you have anything from Iran in this
shell? No, I don't have. No, I don't have. And again, what is close to us always gets more attention.
Trust.
Yes.
And the main problem for these actors to be held liable is the issue of causality.
We know now, because the United States and the Russian Federation, which between the two of them hold more than 95% of all of the chemical weapons that have been accumulated in the world.
Iraq use of so-called mustard gas. Mustard gas is an odorless gas with effect a few years later. And it means that when you're using such a gas, you know, you don't have immediately the perception of the effect. You know, it is a gas first used at during the First World War. You become blind, you're disfigured, and so on.
This wall, this mural, it's probably the most iconic work of art from the First World War. It's appropriately enough called Gassed, yes. And it was a painting by John Singer Sargent. And when we wanted to come up with a design or something that we thought captured the essence of what this convention and this organization is all about. And yeah, it's a scene from a World War I battlefield, but it could easily have been taken from the from the battlefields of Iran during the 1980s as well.
But sure, Iraq could not produce it. And we had a lot, you know, it is, I think, we can call it a very fundamental, a basic chemical weapon, because we have more sophisticated chemical weapons.
Because the consignment of Al Haddad Company had been blocked by the customers at the Netherlands airport, the Samarra chemical plant never received them. But the deals between Iraq's defense ministry and American companies, such as the New York Federal Reserve, Florida Chemical, Bechtel Corporation, and Exempt Bank, helped the construction of Fallujah's 1 and 2 chemical plants. And that's how Iraq acquired the technology to produce the deadly nerve agent known as the VX. The US had a monopoly on the VX bomb. But Iraq had to be rewarded for going to war with Iran and for it to become the only other country in the world to possess that weapon. With the VX bomb know-how and American supercomputers, Iraq turned into a global chemical giant.